The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's April 24th, 2023, to be rebroadcast on my birthday, April 26th, 2023, at our regular times on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment. I may be able to respond, and so might Fran, as soon as she gets in here. She's in the empty seat next to me right now. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening right now on Facebook Live, you can just comment down here below, or you can just send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Monday now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our regular times on Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WHUS 91.7 FM. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or FMRadioFree.com. Ron's Rant of the Week. Oh boy, have we heard this one before? We keep hearing these things. Let's talk about cell phones. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Researchers have constantly linked texting or otherwise manipulating a cell phone to increased risk. Some studies, but not all, have found that talking on a cell phone also increases crash risk. Cell phones and texting aren't the only things that can distract drivers. Anyway, we'll discuss this a little bit more in the show because it's the distracted driving thing. I worry about it a lot. We all worry about it a lot. Better now that I have radar on my bicycle. I definitely like that. But anyway, and one more thing on the rant. Hate to be that grumpy old guy, but tubeless tires? Yeah, I'm going to go there again. Talk to you about it later in the show. There's a reason behind it. Moving forward, positive side, coming soon, May is National Bike Month. Yeah, that's a good thing. Next week's show will feature things that you can do to celebrate. Let's think. Oh, yeah. How about ride your bike? That's an idea. Anyway, early spring, yes, it's true. The leaves are popping and the flowers are blooming, and it just all seems to be a week or two earlier this year up here in the great cold Northeast. So anyway, it's good news for cycling. Been great. There's Franny. I just saw you behind me on my screen.
This is my protein shake.
And Franny is drinking a protein shake. That's very nice. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the show. Let's see, what else do we have here? Mechanical Minute and Cycling Tips. All right. So I got this from my friend Don, who said, hey, check this out. You might find this interesting for your show. Actually, he gave me a couple of different things, which we're going to cover today. But this one is pickle juice from the Berkeley Wellness Newsletter.
Absolutely.
Here we go. Here comes pickle juice. So pickle juice, which is typically containing water, vinegar, salt, pickling herbs or spices, often sugar, is being touted for exercise-related muscle cramps.
Yes.
And yes, it does work.
I can explain you
if you stayed up late to watch the Australian Open back in January, you might have caught the match between Casper Rudd, who was ranked number 2 for the world's men's singles, and American tennis player Jensen Brooksby, number 48, who was given this briny beverage for his leg cramps and told to down it as quickly as possible. Apparently it worked, according to the commentators, and Brooksby went on to win the biggest match of his career. But was it the real pickle juice that did the trick? One pickle juice company will tell you, they'll go as far as to claim that its product is scientifically proven to stop muscle cramps.
Hmm.
Well, so is my pickle juice that I just scavenge off of the empty pickle jar.
That's a good point. Are there actual studies on it?
Well, this is Berkeley Wellness Letter. So let's see what they say. There's a lot of information here. First, some background about muscle cramps. Still not entirely clear what causes them during intense exercise. I can tell you what causes them. Tired muscles, tired, exhausted, and not enough liquids in your body.
I can dehydrated speak to the muscles. Theory of what's actually going on.
You like. Can speak to that theory. So why don't we do that?
Okay.
Go ahead.
So
yeah, go ahead.
What they think is actually going on is, so say, for example, you are riding your bike. And personally, when I used to ride greater distances, I would find that I would start to cramp at around 70 miles. I don't ride that far anymore.
Yeah.
But you can cramp any old time. And you're absolutely right that if you are light in electrolytes, if you don't have enough, if you've sweated out a lot of your salt, if you're low in magnesium, and if you're dehydrated, it's more likely to happen. But what is actually going on? So, if I'm doing... If I'm doing resistance training, I'm less likely to get a muscle cramp. I will get muscle cramps in my feet while I'm doing yoga. And I think...
I get those all the time.
Right. So often your feet are a location where they happen. Mm-hmm. And they. But when you're riding your bike, what you're actually doing is you are overusing a muscle. You're doing a repetitive motion many, many, many times. And so when you're running and also when you're riding your bike... you're doing a repetitive motion. So the muscles are doing the same movement over and over and over, and they are contracting, 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 and they are not always getting a chance to recover. So if you're riding a really long distance, you're doing that same motion and the same muscles are moving and moving and moving, and you're never resting. So they're contracting, 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 and they're never getting a chance to stop. So your brain is telling those muscles to keep going, keep going. So the nerves, get to a point where there's no feedback. There's no, you have your contractile function happening, but you're having your concentric contraction, but you're not having your eccentric release. And so the muscle just keeps on contracting. The nerve tells the muscle to stop, to keep doing it. The basic reason that things like pickle juice and also cayenne pepper, hot pepper, works.
Right.
It's not
apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar and anything vinegary, anything spicy and peppery. The reason those things work is not because you think the pickle juice is because it's putting electrolytes into you. That's not it.
Right.
That's a
bonus that you get, but it's not necessarily.
That's not really what's going on. No, because it works almost immediately. If it's working immediately.
Oh, triggers the brain.
If it's working immediately, it's not because you're getting, you're suddenly getting a hit of electrolytes.
Right.
It's because it's what's called in botanical medicine, a counter irritant. So you're having, your nerve is irritated. So it's making that muscle continually contract. And when you have a counter irritant, now you're irritating a nerve somewhere distant in the body, somewhere else. So it takes the focus off that muscle that's contracting, and that's how it works. So pickle juice will do that. Straight up vinegar will do that.
Yep. Hot sauce.
Hot pepper, hot sauce, cayenne pepper,
right.
an atomic fireball, one of those candies.
Anything hot. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, cool.
So that's how it works. But you're less likely to cramp if you hydrate adequately. If you're doing long distance, you probably do want to do electrolyte drinks. The other thing I use is you can get electrolyte tablets,
right.
And the electrolyte tablets should be obnoxiously salty.
Right.
And I have these electrolyte tablets that I get from a particular company that you chew on them and they taste obnoxiously salty, and they have a bunch of trace minerals in them, and they have kelp in them. So I bite down on them so I can taste the obnoxiousness, and that works too.
Yeah, because it's doing the trigger.
The obnoxiously
thing
salty,
right,
exactly.
Right. Well, that's really cool. Well, thank you, Fran.
Whoops,
there goes our video. Thank you, Fran. I appreciate your feedback, because we always get great medical feedback from Fran, because she's got a lot of knowledge here. She even just came back from a naturopathic concert.
So I'm
concert,
even smarter than usual.
Excuse me, conference. So she's smarter than usual.
My brain is all filled up with stuff.
I don't want to go down that road right now. Anyway. So anyway, we got the idea there, and I'm going to read on here. I'm going to just like blow by that whole paragraph because Fran gave us an earful there. Pickle juice's effect may be due to its sharp biting taste from the acetic acid in the juice's vinegar, which eliminates, which stimulates receptors in the back of the throat and can reduce activity in the alpha motor neurons, the result being that the cramped muscle relaxes. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. So it goes on and on, and this, of course, gets, it does say that the author's note is that it takes some 30 minutes for pickle juice to leave the stomach. So you're not really getting as much from the actual liquid itself. You're really getting something from the stimulation.
Yes.
So do you even need to drink pickle juice if... coming into contact with the receptors,
you can gargle them and spit it out.
You may just be rinsing your mouth with it,
yes,
and that could work.
Right.
This idea was put to the test in a small study in Applied Sciences in 2021. Researchers again induced cramps in the big toe muscles of 11 cramp-prone people.
No!
Who then I do not want to be a part of that study.
No, me neither.
Who then either rinsed their mouth with pickle juice, drank the juice about 2 ounces, or drank water, the control condition, switching conditions every week. This time, however, there didn't appear to be any difference between the pickle juice and the control groups. The authors proposed various possible reasons to explain the lack of effect, including methodological issues, small sample size, different things, low acetic level of juice, as well as variations in the duration of the cramping that was being examined. In addition, it's possible that the oral rinse methodology used might not have stimulated the key receptors. So there's different types of receptors in the throat and the stomach. Bottom line, since published studies on pickle juice are limited and don't show consistent or overwhelming benefit in terms of significantly reducing muscle cramp frequency, duration, or severity, and since the juice is high in sodium, it's hard to enthusiastically stand behind this trendy remedy as your go-to fix for exercise-related muscle cramps. I disagree. It's not even known for sure which ingredient in the pickle juice might reduce the cramping, though likely suspect is the strong tasting acetic acid in the vinegar, which begs the question whether just sipping plain vinegar would also be a benefit.
It probably would be.
It is.
And you might as well, if you want to try it and you don't want to spend money on little, you know, pickle juice packets, you can get yourself some organic apple cider vinegar.
Right.
And carry that with you and see if it works.
And put in a little flask and carry it with you.
And the other thing to do is get obnoxiously salty electrolyte tablets and see if that works. Because it's going to work the same way. Eventually, you're going to get the electrolyte replacement from the obnoxious tablets. But tasting the obnoxious salt is going to do the same thing.
Well, our folks at Berkeley and their wellness letter here need to employ a few grad students to do some studies, I would say. Wouldn't you say? I think that would be a good thing. So with all that said, if you want to try pickle juice and if it works, it's okay to use on occasion. If you don't have any contraindications, such as being very low sodium diet, you could also try just a sip of vinegar for that matter. Note that these should be used together with stretching the muscle and ice massage, not in isolation. But if you're an active person who regularly gets cramps when you exercise, you may want to see a healthcare professional with experience working with athletes. That would be this one right here. Right? I see her every day. I see her every night. Ah, you're like old news.
And you get nudged about your health constantly.
Yes.
I'm feeling what's going on.
And my health often gets broadcast on Radio Naturopath.
Yes.
Constantly. So anyway,
Who got you off gluten?
Right.
What happened when you got off gluten?
Oh, I know. I know all those things.
You started being able to eat vegetables.
Yeah,
I know. You know that I probably extended your life.
Oh, okay. That means I'm going to be around to be a pain in the butt for you forever.
But you couldn't eat vegetables. That's all true. Crazy.
Well, I could eat them. I just couldn't do them more than one day at a time. So
now you can eat them every day. That's so bad for you. You need your phytonutrients and your fiber.
It's terrible. Anyway, moving on. Thank you, Fran.
You're welcome.
I love you, dear. Yeah. There it is. Okay.
Ron's birthday is Wednesday. I want you to know. So wish Ron a happy birthday. If you're making comments in the on Facebook Live, you should be wishing him a happy birthday.
Yeah. And so I will be older than dirt, but still on the right side of it. Yeah. That's it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. So we're going to start here when we get into the content now, because that was our cycling tips section of the show. And we're going to go into the oldest monument race on the planet. Did you know that the Lège Bastion Lège is the oldest race, the first in 1892? Yes, 1892 was the first race. It's a 258K race, not an easy one for sure. Lots of climbs, more of the climbs in the end of the race than in the beginning of the race. But anyway, it's a big deal, and it is one of the monuments, and it is the oldest monument race. So anyway, so we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and then I'm going to move on to some other stuff because I got a bunch of other stuff I want to go to. So thank you, Wade. I appreciate it. Thanks, Rick. Everybody's wishing me a happy birthday now. That's very, very nice. So anyway, two more days. I get to be this low age of 67, two more days. But anyway. I don't feel it, by the way. And as we get into next month, and May is bike month and all that other fun stuff that goes on, I'm also going to talk about a 2-year anniversary of my heart issue, which has been fully exposed in my show. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. And some others that have had the same situation, and we are all out riding our bikes and riding strong, and that's a really good thing. But we'll get to that next episode. So in this episode, though, we're talking about the Lège Bastion Lège, and Remco Evenepoel claims a stunning solo victory as Tadej Pogačar crashes out. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that crash, too, as we go along here. But anyway, so Pogačar was taken down by what was described as a double puncture involving EF Education Easy Post rider Mikel Honoré, who was also forced to abandon. EF Education Easy Post officials said Honoré is banged up, all right, but otherwise not seriously injured, while after striking the pothole in the road, causing both tires to explode. It was a double puncture of Honoré and the explosion of the tires that caused the crash, and he was involved in a crash. That's something that happens in cycling. This time it was him. So, Tadej Pogačar, you know, one of the big contenders in the Tour de France, big contenders in all of the giant races. He underwent successful surgery to treat a broken wrist after the Liège crash. So, he's okay. He had surgery to treat a scaphoid fracture in his left wrist at the hospital. They confirmed that he will travel home to continue his recovery on Monday. The surgery was successful, and he will travel home for recovery rehab. So anyway, he was transported to the hospital to undergo an immediate surgery. He's going to be fine. And hate to be that grumpy old guy, but gonna go back to that little thing I was talking about on my, rants and all. Tubeless tires. So I raced bikes for a long time, and I always raced on tubular tires, and I still ride on tubular tires occasionally. I like my tubular tires, and everybody keeps telling you tubeless tires, go to tubeless. You can run lower pressures. You can do this. You can do that. And they're wonderful, and they don't get flats. But guess what happens when you slam a pothole with them really, really hard? Can happen to a tubular too, I understand, but the tubular is contained. The tube is contained within the tubular tire, and Anyway, tubeless tires, when you smack a pothole that hard, they will catastrophically fail. They will just blow off the rims. They'll compress so quickly that all the fluid will come out of them, and you're going to have a major problem. Again, I go here often. I'm just not completely sold on them. I've watched so many people end up having mechanicals in cyclocross races because they're running tubeless tires. And it's just tubulars. You got to race, ride on tubulars. That's it. If you're going to just ride your bike, yeah, you probably should just ride on a clincher. They're generally a little bit more durable than the tubulars are. Personally, I like the way the tubulars feel, and that's just my thing. But the tubeless tires, I'm sorry, the jury is way on out there, and I'm going to be that grumpy old guy, and Billy's going to call me in and go, you know, you need to like get on with it, you know, with the, you know, the disc brakes and the electronic shifting and all that other funny stuff that's out there. My friend Maynard Hirshon would understand what I'm talking about. He wrote a great article, or he reproduced a great article that he wrote years ago about those guys that would just, you know, show up back in the 70s in the bike shop and build bikes. It's a long story, but anyway, we won't get into that. So, you know, they're riding on high quality tires. The Emirates team is running on Pirelli tires, really nice tires, not cheap. And they have a choice between using a tubular tire and a tubeless tire. You know, given the choice, I know everybody's really trying to push this tubeless thing, but nah, not sold on it yet. And you know, tubulars have their issues, and they also flat easily too. There are problems with that. But when they flat, they don't generally catastrophically fail unless the tubular tire is so old that the sidewalls just blow out, the fabric is shot. They just don't do it that way. And because everything is contained, there's nothing to blow off of a bead. It doesn't happen. So, anyway, as far as the race goes, suddenly and all too soon, the much-anticipated duel between Pogačar and Evenepoel was off the menu, and Pogačar headed to the hospital. At the same time, Evenepoel was now the sole standout favorite, and his Quick-Step team turned on the pressure even higher, and the race, as the race reached Bastogne and began the long trek back north. I was speaking to a friend this morning after my class at the community center, and he said, did you see that race yesterday? I said, yeah, I saw the race yesterday. And I said, nice rain, huh? It was a rainy day, a lot of rain, a lot of water on the roads, a lot of slippery stuff going on. And he said he was watching, he found himself very anxious as he was watching them ride through the wet corners. And I get that. I totally had the same feeling. I'm watching them go through the corners, and I'm going, easy, easy. Don't go on the paint. Don't ride on the paint. That's the rule. You keep your tires off of the paint on wet roads if you can. That's a little cycling tip for those of us who have slipped out on wet painted roads before. So you want to be super careful about that. But anyway, Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. I will agree with my friend Scott, who said it was really, really, he was very anxious when he was watching them go through the corners. Because, you know, we've all felt that those tires slip on the wet surface. It happens. And so, anyway, it was still a great race. It was still fun to watch. And Remco Evenepoel comes back to win the race the second year in a row. Yeah, 2 years in a row now on that race. And he is also wearing the world champion's jersey. So anyway, who are we looking at for the Tour de France this year? Who are we looking at for some of the big classics? You know, these guys, I tell you, there's a handful of guys that are just riding at the top of their game right now. I feel so bad for Pogačar because, you know, he's just... he was just really in his prime. He's riding really well in the early season races. Seems to like his fitness is way up there. His cadence is ridiculous. I say ridiculous. Follow him on Strava. Check it out. He averages 93 RPMs at all times. Doesn't seem to matter the race. It's always 93 RPM.
I did a cadence workout yesterday.
Yeah, how was that?
It was fun. They made me go from 95 to 105 to 115.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, it was fast. And at not so high wattage.
Yeah, but pickups just to train, and that's the thing. If you're using something like a Zwift or a spin bike or an indoor trainer of some sort for your training in the wintertime or when it's cool out or when it's raining, because I'm not going to go on a ride today in the rain. Why can I do that? I have this fancy machine at home. I can just do that. That's when you start focusing a little bit more on your cadence. That's the reason why I like rollers so much, because rollers were really, really good for doing cadence drills. And they also teach you how to ride the straightest line you've ever ridden in your life. But that's because you only have 16 inches to mess up. Actually, really, you only have about 8 inches to mess up on each side. So not a whole lot of room for error there. But the skills, I can't even tell you how much the skills improve when you do that sort of thing. But anyway, the cadence thing is really good because it's a memory thing. You're teaching your body to remember how fast and how good that feels to spin that fast. And you're trying to set that in your brain. That's the whole idea. I find every year as I ride and I ride deeper and deeper into the season, that my cadence tends to decrease. As I get a little bit stronger, I tend to rely a little bit more on pushing big gears. And yeah, it's probably not a great idea. You should probably try to, you know, give yourself a little cadence drill work like Fran just did to bring that memory back up, because it really makes a big difference. And it allows you to use your cardiovascular system a little bit more. I had a young woman who showed up to my spin class last week after I encouraged her to come and give it a try, you know, see what you think, because I saw her on one of the fitness bicycles out in the gym, and she's a classic. She lifts a lot of weights, and so she's just really into the bulwark and working hard and all that. And she was probably spinning her legs around about 50 or 60 RPMs on the fitness bike. And I said, can I please just offer you a suggestion? And she said, okay. And then I explained to her about RPMs and cadence, and between 80 and 100 RPMs is anatomically the correct way to do it, etc., how it's going to use her cardiovascular system a little bit more on that. Well, she showed up in my class last Friday, and I saw her this morning, and I said, so how was the class on Friday? And she said, oh my God. She goes, I learned so much. And I said, did I get you breathing hard? Did I get you working hard? And she said, yep. She said, totally different experience. She said, the only thing that I'm not happy with is my butt, which everybody says when they get on the bike for an extended period of time, they start working hard. They realize that that's got a little bit of a break-in period you got to work with. But anyway, cadence. I talk about it all the time. Back to Ron's Rants of the Week. And as we get deeper into the show here, I am looking at, I am not recording the show. Look at that. It didn't record. Okay. So anyway, this is really weird. That's really strange. Okay. We'll pick that up later on. So, back into the show, Ron's Rant of the Week, talking about cell phones, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay. We're going to talk about a few things here because I am mildly upset with distracted drivers. I see them all the time. Oh, my God. It's just crazy. And, you know, they're the ones that are weaving all over the roads. They're probably out there weaving along when you are, you're trying to... you're trying to ride your bike and you see them weaving back and forth. You're trying to drive your car and you see them weaving back and forth. They cross the center line. They come back over. They go into the ditch and then they come back out. They're, you know that they're obviously doing something that's very distracting inside the vehicle and not doing what they should be doing, which is driving the vehicle. So for anyone from, you know, it can be a disciplined adult who's been driving for years. It could be a teen driver who is just learning how to drive. But put the cell phone down. Just put it down. Don't worry about it. If you have a way of interacting with it, which allows you to not look at it or the center screen in your car, then that's lovely. But you know what? I'm driving right now. Please don't bother me. It just drives me crazy. So so this goes all the way back to 2018, 2,841 people were killed from distracted driving crashes. And of those, 1 in 5 were pedestrians, cyclists that were outside of the vehicles. Today, more states are passing laws that restrict attempt to restrict cell phone use to keep people safe and curb distracted driving habits. In fact, 49 states currently have laws on the books that ban texting while driving, while 25 have laws that ban or restrict all handheld cell phone use behind the wheel. As I look at the chart that I have here in front of me, it doesn't look as pretty as that statement that I just read to you. I see driving laws that ban handheld cell phone use while driving. Now we have, that means that they haven't banned the usage of them, but there's a lot of states, and they tend to be in the flyover states, should you ever want to know, and also in some of the southern states. But the full Northeast, we're looking at New York all the way up to Maine. It's, yes, they are banned while driving. New Jersey, banned while driving. Looks like parts of Pennsylvania, but not all of Pennsylvania. Virginia, some not. Florida, yes, banned. Georgia, yes, banned. Tennessee, yes, banned. Going through the map, the entire West Coast, when you start up at Washington State and you go all the way down to Arizona, yes. And Nevada even, yes, banned from driving. Then you cross over into Idaho and Montana and Utah and Wyoming and Colorado, not so much. So now these may have changed since this was published, but it looks like the Dakotas, not a chance. Kansas, Nebraska, no. So I don't understand why, but, you know, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, come on, folks, get it together. This is not something that you should be doing while driving. This, what you should be doing while you are driving is driving your vehicle. That's it. Now, the same goes for cyclists. What you should be doing while riding your bike is riding your bike. You shouldn't be on your cell phone. You should no way be on that cell phone. This whole cell phone thing has become a real problem, and it's causing death and injury. And I just don't like it. It is one of my rants of the week for sure. I don't like distracted driving. I don't like what it does. I went looking for something else, which I'll get to here in just a bit. And I came up with all these distracted driving things that are out there. And it's just national sites, you know, simple. Using a cell phone while driving increases crash risk. What do you know about that? That's from the National Highway Safety, the National Center for Statistics and Analysis. This is not rocket science. This is simply, you just shouldn't be able to be using that cell phone when you're driving your car. Observational studies conducted in 2014 and 2018 in Virginia found an increase in cell phone manipulation from 2.3% to 3.4% of the drivers that are out there. So people who use cell phones more frequently while driving may be riskier drivers in other aspects. We can't really control it, but it's definitely something out there. Drivers who reportedly Frequent cell phone use drove faster, changed lanes more often, and made more hard braking maneuvers than drivers who said they rarely use cell phones while driving. There's an interesting stat. That's very, very interesting. So, and then we go on to the National Highway and Traffic Safety. So this is from the U.S. government here. Distracted driving is dangerous, claiming 3,522 lives in 2021. The NHTSA leads the national effort to save lives by preventing this dangerous behavior. Get the facts, get involved, and you can go to their website to find out more about that. It explains what distracted driving is. I think we pretty much know what distracted driving is and the consequences. Obviously, people get killed in motor vehicle crashes involving distracted drivers, teens, parents, you name it. It's all out there. The National Highway Traffic, Department of Transportation is, they're recommending eliminating risky behaviors on our nation's roads. There's just, the law is what the law is. More and more states are going in the direction of banning the use of the phones. What does it mean? You get caught on your cell phone, you get a ticket. Maybe you get a ticket. Maybe you do it twice, you get a bigger ticket because now you're on record for it. But it's not enough. There's something else that needs, there's another component that needs to come into this thing to make it safer for us on our bicycles. And I don't know what that component might be, but we definitely need to take a very, very serious look at this. I get really nervous. I will say that once I put the radar on my bike and that rear radar that Fran got me for Christmas, I feel a lot more secure when I'm out riding my bike in traffic, like a lot, by a large amount. Best thing I've done in a long time, as far as that goes. It alerts me right away as to whether there's a car coming or two cars or three cars or even five cars that show up right on your screen. And it immediately makes me look in my mirror, which I have a mirror on my bike. I don't ride on the road anymore without a mirror on my bike. I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm a little too worried about the distracted drivers. And so what's it going to do? It's going to make it so at least I'm going to be able to see what's coming up behind me and maybe have an exit plan should I need to take it. So anyway, what you got, Fran?
Breaking news.
Yes.
In a unprecedented story, we have found out that Tucker Carlson and Fox News are parting ways. He has already done his last show, wow, which was Friday, April 21st.
Isn't that interesting?
Fox News did not comment about why Tucker Carlson is leaving, but this is after the Dominion booth thing happened, and they paid, and Fox News had to pay them $757 million. But yes, yeah, Tucker Carlson is leaving Fox News.
Wow, that's big news.
This has been a special report and from the next thing, Fran.
And he's going to go to MSNBC, right?
No idea.
No, just kidding. Anyway, so as I was looking at this
discussion, that was so shocking. I had to break
shocking
in.
News. That's breaking news. You got it. Totally breaking news. So as I'm looking at this, and I'm realizing that I need to find out more information about this whole cell phone thing, I keep asking the Professor Google, or what is it, Mrs. Davis.
Yes, Mrs. Davis last night.
Anyway, I asked about, the best self-defense products for runners, walkers, and cyclists, because, in my estimation, it's the thing I've been complaining about the whole time. The thing that I'm broadcasting to you on right now is a cell phone. And so in my estimation, it's the cell phone. It really is. Yet, if you do searches that are specifically oriented at, is my cell phone the most effective weapon I have to protect myself when riding my bicycle or when walking on the road, You can't find any information. Zippo, Zippo, Zippo. I saw all sorts of other things out there, the best self-defense products for walkers, cyclists, and runners. And this is some guy who has a security, home security superstore online. And he's got all sorts of information about all the different things that he sells. No mention of the cell phone. You know, the thing that's, it's obvious. It's the elephant in the room. It's easy. It's easy, easy, easy. So anyway, but he's got all sorts of other things you can carry with you, including firearms that he will sell you. And that's going to make you safer when you're out riding your bike. No, that's not. It's going to make me more vulnerable if you're carrying a firearm. Bad idea. As a matter of fact, one of the items that is recommended that, people often use, and I know many runners, especially female runners, who carry pepper spray with them. And it is very, very effective if you are accosted in some way to use pepper spray. What it also will do is it will aggravate the situation. And that's not such a good idea. Whereas a fast-talking ex-salesman with a cell phone can pretty much talk you down off the ledge and get things to materialize in a much more positive way. So I am a huge believer of the cell phone in this way. I just really think it makes a lot of sense. It totally, it will protect you. It gives you a sense of security because you can use it. It's not just a phone. It's a camera. It's a recording device. It has all this stuff. Yeah, sure. The person who decides to get really angry with you and get violent with you could take your cell phone away, but they probably won't. And they're probably not going to be able to destroy all the information that's in it, especially if you were recording them, or better yet, if you were actually on the phone with 911 and the state police and recording the incident in front of that person. Very, very effective. Interesting thing, though, as I'm going through all these videos and I'm looking at all these different solutions for people who are feeling less secure when they're out dealing with automobiles, traffic, and other things that they might encounter when they're out riding their bikes or walking or running, there was this gentleman that showed me a very interesting thing. And I had never really thought of this, but they make these very small tactical flashlights. They're military grade. They're very heavy duty. You can smash them into things and they basically are super durable. And they're sold in a various number of places that are out there. Or you can get something that's not quite as brutal as that is. Or not brutal, that's not really the word I was looking for. But as durable as that is. But it did send me to a place that I started thinking very, very seriously about this, because one of the things that this gentleman who was doing a video on this that I was watching was explaining how you could use this piece of hard metal as a defense mechanism to hit somebody with or bop them in the head with or whatever, and that it was going to, that's going to sting. It's going to cause a bruise. Personally, I don't want to get that close to them. If someone is that angry, I don't want to be within reach of them. I want to make sure that my bicycle and I are away from that person. And the first thing that that person is going to encounter is not me, but my bicycle. And I'll pick the bike up and use that way, way, way before I'm going to get close enough to use a small handheld device as a weapon. So I don't think it's a great idea. What is a great idea, and I had not thought of, is a lot of these lights, these small tactical lights, as well as the lights that I have on my bike. And now I'm starting to really think seriously about this, because this is kind of a cool thing. Even when I'm not riding in the darkness, maybe I should always have that light on my bike. If you turn that light on to its highest power and hit the person right in the eyes with it, you will temporarily blind them, and it will take them a while to recover from that. You either use that or the flashing method that light, that many of our bike lights have on them. It's something you already have on your bike, so it's kind of pretty good use. And if someone really gets violent with you, you can use the light as a tool to give yourself 30 seconds or 40 seconds of space and get out of there. Don't encounter them. Get out of there, dial 911, and record the rest of it, because that's really the safest way to deal with this. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. It totally it brought a light to the subject, so to speak. No pun intended. And I thought that was a great idea. But once again, I am a big, big believer in the cell phone as a weapon when riding my bike, because it really works. It really, truly does work. We've had encounters in the past where we've had to record an incident that we've had with a driver who was being very judgmental and very, he wasn't being real smart is what it was. He was not thinking things through. He was making claims and judgments and accusations at us on our bikes after buzzing us really close, and also explaining that we did not belong on the road, whereas I explained to him that we did belong on the road. But that was beside the point. Now, this guy, he would not get out of his vehicle, which is probably good. That's probably a good sign. He would not back down his defense because he was inside of a vehicle and screaming at the top of his lungs, and he felt protected, I'm sure. But he would not also listen to logic. And when I say listen to logic, I say the logic is very, very simple. You just kindly thank him for, or the person who is driving the vehicle, for stopping and talking to you. And then you go on to explain why what was just done was not a really, really smart move, and how dangerous that 4,000 or 5,000 pound vehicle is against your, 100 to 200 pound body. And it's, you try to hit it with logic as much as you can. So once again, the best way to protect yourself in a rough or violent situation with a road raging motorist is to use your cell phone. Cell phone works great. I like the light idea, though. The light idea was a new one. I had not heard that one before. Not huge on pepper spray because it aggravates the situation. It'll buy you some time and get you out of the way and hopefully to someone's doorstep, and you can be safe and hopefully come out of it in a better way, or at least have called the authorities to let them know that something is going on. But anyway, I just thought that was really, really interesting. So we're going to go on to one more little thing here. And I'm kind of watching my time carefully because I've got a recording issue I'm working with. So anyway, the next thing that is on my list is something that was sent to me by Don once again. Good old Don. Don's been sending great stuff. He's a great team player. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's in our club, and he's often helping us with a lot of things, and we really appreciate that. So this came from the Washington Post, and last June, Niva Achanta walked into a Seattle shop to celebrate her engagement. For most of her life, she had imagined slipping on a diamond ring onto her left hand to mark the occasion. She'd even sent her boyfriend of 5 years an Instagram-worthy montage of fairy tale scenes, inspiration for a wedding to which her parents planned to invite hundreds of guests. Okay. So her friends and family were a bit surprised when she pedaled home on a new bicycle. It was an iridescent purple endurance bike, ideal for venturing further and riding longer. Her friends mostly embraced the engagement bike, while her parents are taking it not amazingly, she said.
I would much
but
rather have an engagement.
They've become more supportive
bike.
Of who I am. So, and who she is. She's someone who is happier riding an engagement bike than wearing a diamond ring. What a great idea. I love it. Now, she's got the ring. But she's also got the bikes.
This ring costs less than my bike.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely. Well, it's the same thing people say about cars. If the number of bikes and the value of the bikes that are sitting on top of your roof rack on your car are less than the value of your car, then you're not doing it right. If they're more than the value of your car, you got your priorities straight. But anyway, so this is really a cool idea. She got an engagement bicycle instead of an engagement ring.
Yeah.
So with the money she saved, she's renting an Airbnb for a wedding party to stay together over 4 days. La, la, la. It goes on down. And she just said, we just both realized all the things we think we want were just informed by what other people want, not what actually we wanted to do. And so we reprioritized and focused on what we want out of life. That's a great story. I love this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, engagement rings. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got them forever. It's kind of a nice thing, I guess. I guess it is. I don't know. I've never really had an engagement ring, so I don't really know much about it. No,
you
could buy me a bike.
You keep saying that you don't want one. So
I'm not interested in it. No, I'm not interested.
You don't like jewelry
I'm not. You see how much I have on? I got nothing. I just don't wear jewelry, and I find jewelry to be kind of in my way and annoying. The only thing I ever wear is really a watch. And one of the things that's on my watch, of course, is if you can see this, it's a road ID, because that's important. That's definitely important, but that's it. I don't do jewelry at all. I really don't. So, as late as World War II, only about 10% of engagement rings in Western countries featured diamonds. But now everybody's getting these diamonds. And then there's the whole diamond debate, and we should be doing blood diamonds and all that. It's just messy. But that bicycle, oh my goodness, you'll have it for a long, long time. Maybe even for the rest of your life, if it's a special sentimental one, like Fran's 1950s Schwinn that's hanging in our garage.
1987.
Yeah, it's old. It's old, it's heavy, it's in my way. But anyway, so should you buy an engagement bike?
Yes.
That's absolutely a thought. That's a good thought. You don't buy an engagement bike for someone who doesn't care. But if you have someone who really cares and really cares about their lifestyle and their future with you, an engagement bike is a great, great idea. I just thought this was a lovely idea.
I need a Shavuot bike. Shavuot's coming up.
Okay. You'll have to explain that to me.
And then after that, I need a Sukkot bike.
What's Shavuot?
Shavuot is the Feast of Weeks.
Okay, that's always a good occasion for a bike.
Yes, and so is Sukkot and Tisha B'Av, and also Rosh Hashanah and Hanukkah.
Or my birthday.
And your birthday, yes.
Yeah.
I should get a bike on your birthday. I think that's great.
No, not you, me. me. And how many bikes is the right number of bikes, Fran?
N+1
from the background. Yes, sirree. So anyway, I thought this was a clever story. You'll have the bike forever. Even if the marriage isn't forever, you'll still have the bike.
Yeah.
You might want to sell the bike after that, though. But anyway, that's just another story. Why would you sell a bike? Exactly. I would give a bike to someone before I would get, before selling it to someone. So I just everyone should have a bike as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, that's pretty much what I got here. We've got all sorts of stuff coming up for next month, and we've got all these great dates coming up for Bike Month. I'll be talking a lot more about that in the future. I can hit you with some more good stuff there. We just went through Earth Day. I just did an Earth Day celebration at the local community center on Saturday, and that was really cool. But let's go on to talking about other things that are going on. Coming up, we have the 110th edition of, oh no, the 106th edition of the 2023 Giro d'Italia starts Saturday, May 6th. The 110th edition of the Tour de France starts July 1st, 2023. And the 78th edition of the Vuelta a España is August 26th. Those are our local ones. The CCAP mountain bike series has begun and is still going on. The International Ride of Silence is coming up very soon on May 17th, right here in beautiful downtown Storrs, Connecticut. We have information posted on the Bicycle Talk site, and then also you can, if you're a club member, you can obviously you see my meetup, which is out there. If you're not, then you could just check out the Facebook page, or you can go directly to the International Ride of Silence International webpage, and you can find all the information for our local ride right there. It's not a race. It's not a fast ride. It is very slow, very quiet, and very inspirational and meaningful as far as that goes. The bicycle game is still going on the early history of bicycles in Hartford. That is at the Hartford or the Connecticut Historical Society. So please be sure to check that out. The let's see, what do we have here? That's already gone by. Okay. Saturday, let me make sure, Quiet Corner Bike Tour. This is August 22nd, 2023. That's wrong. It is, why does it say that? That's terrible. I got a bad date here. Sunday, July 23rd, 2023, the Thread City Cyclers are offering their annual ride, and the Steeplechase Bike Tour is August 19th. And again, more information coming on. Finishing points, cell phones. Love them, hate them. What's your story? Tell me your story. Nice to know. There's just so much out there. The classics are just getting, there's just so much good bike racing coming up. And the Giro starts in a week. It's great. And well, a little over a week. But anyway, I'll say it again. I won't be the last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when presenting to your local governments, come with positive solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2023. Initiate, participate, ride your bike, tell everyone you know. And finally, take on that Pedal and Ron challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it, use your bike just one day a week. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. Talk to you about that a little bit more next week, too. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening.